From the moment that I wake up my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness of God all my life. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Hallelujah, sing, I love your voice. I love your voice. Darkest night, you were close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, you are wonderful. A good, good God. You, God, that has loved us with an everlasting love. God, who has forgiven us all sins, cleansed us from all unrighteousness. Our deliverer, our redeemer, our peace. While we were yet sinners, you loved us, gave yourself for us. And tonight we come before your throne room, made possible because of the love that you have for us. You shut the gates of Eden, but you opened and made it possible for us to come into your presence. And now we have you. Now we are in your presence. We are in a greater place than Eden. Father, we give you praise. We will sing of your goodness, Father. I will sing of the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of my God. I will sing of the goodness of my God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Thank you, Lord. Mandorobo shake it, break it, thank you, Lord. We give you praise. With my heart, I give you all praise. Hallelujah. I will sing of the goodness of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord tonight. Welcome to the Good God Conference. And thank you, worship team. I want to thank God for his faithfulness tonight. I have so much in my heart to share with you. But there is something that keeps on ringing in my spirit. Something I've shared over and over again. Just maybe somebody needs to hear it for the first time, or somebody needs to hear it again. When we talk about the goodness of God, we many times reduce it to things. Oh, God is good. I bought a new house. Oh, God has been good to me. I bought a new car. Look at my dress. Look at my suit. Look at my shoes. God is good. My house is paid for. God is good. And all of that are manifestations of the goodness of God. But many times when we talk about the goodness of God and relate just to the things that we have acquired, things that are good that have happened in our lives, we belittle the goodness of God, because nothing nothing that you can acquire in this earth realm compares with the goodness of God. When I think about the goodness of God, I want to be a crybaby this tonight. When I think about the goodness of God, I think about what it cost him to manifest that goodness. I don't think we know. I really don't think we really know or recognize what happened when Jesus went to the cross. We really don't know. Because if you and I know, really, really know, our lives for real will be changed. I heard the Lord say some things to me this evening that made everything even make more sense. I know I'm talking very quietly, but that's when you need to really listen. That's when you really need to listen. I took economics in school, in university. I was finished Bible school, went to UFW, and majored in economics. And I was just about to go to business school. The Lord says, "No, you're not." He knew exactly what he was talking about. Because if I had gone into business school and did my business administration, I would have gone in the way that was natural to me, business. And that's one of the reasons God has not allowed me to do business, to go into the business field, to do anything there, to even go do an outside job to get money from the outside. Because my family is a business family. I grew up with business. And he knew if this guy goes that way, he's gonna fly the coop. He can't go that way. He said, no. And so what did he do? He got a pastor just down the street here. I'm coming. I'm going to tell you something. Just down the street here, Pastor Lucas from Albright called me. It's an evangelical church, mainline church, not Pentecostal, not charismatic, none of that. Very laid-back church. It's so laid back that I hear that since March, when they closed down, they've not had church till now. That's how laid back. This guy calls me and says, "We just voted that you will be a pastor of evangelism for us, a visitation and evangelism pastor." I didn't have papers. I said, "You want me to be a pastor at your church? You know that I'm charismatic, word of faith. How is this going to work?" He said, God told us that you, God had to go talk to a laid back this guy is not going to fly the coop. Get him here. And your superintendent, like your bishop at the time, Pastor Myers, I think was his name. Myers, yeah? Yeah. He's been around with me for a while. had another guy that he knew that was coming to school at the same school I had gone to. He was going to do his master's in counseling and stuff. He wanted this guy to be the pastor. And their board said, no, we know who we want. Who is it? This Mike guy. I hardly attended the church. In a year, maybe I attended the church 6 times because I was out there with Mama. We're traveling around this province, going from place to place to place, preaching the gospel. They were arguing with the head honcho of the whole denomination. So they settled, okay, we'll take your guy, we'll pay him half of the money that we want to pay this guy. He'll take half of the time, and Mike will have half of the time. So we had 2 pastors coming at the same time. What was that guy's name now? I'm trying to remember. John? No, it wasn't John. John was another pastor. But anyhow, it doesn't matter. We had this situation. So that's how I got in. 2 of us. Pastoring. God did that for my good. He reached out to people who did not normally hear God the way I think people hear God, the way I hear God. People that were not in the same flow in the knowledge of the Word of God like I thought. He spoke to them. The Son, bring him in. And no matter what the obstacles were, I was brought in. After a year of ministering in that church, Elder Andre was part of that church. God spoke to me. I believe I was going to visit them as a visitation pastor had gone to visit them at their house. And God said to me, he said, I want a church in this community. This is all so different from what I wanted to share with you, tell you the truth. I'm wondering which way the Holy Spirit is going with this story. So, I said, you want me to start a church? I love where I am. These people have been good to me. I'm not going nowhere. The Lord says, you going to start a church in this neighborhood? Then I looked closer. The neighborhood was a very Jewish neighborhood. And I cried. I went on my knees, I think, for 2-3 days. I was so upset. I couldn't eat. I couldn't do nothing. How am I going to tell my pastor that God was calling me to go start a church in this neighborhood? Then I found this Jewish area, and I cried out to God. On my knees, I said, God, I can't go there. He said, why can't you go? I said, this is a very Jewish area. He said, where did the church start? I said, from Jerusalem. He said, can you get more Jewish than Jerusalem? I said, oh, I forget this argument. Forget this argument. I'm not going to win this thing. Now, how am I going to tell the pastor? So I called them. on a Monday, I said, Pastor, I need to talk with you. He says, when? I said, whenever it is you can come, I can come see you. He said, don't worry about you coming to see me. I'm coming to see you. I said, where? He said, I'm coming to the university. So they came to the university at UFW. When the cafeteria, he came with John Thiessen. And they sat across from me. And with fear and trembling, I started telling them about how God was asking me to go start a church in Garden City area. And Pastor Lucas and Thiessen, John Thiessen said, hallelujah! I said, what? What's going on? What are you guys shouting hallelujah about? He said, we're just talking about starting a church in that area. So we will support you. Go and start the church. We'll keep on paying you for 6 months. I said, are you serious? He said, yes, go do it. It is God. That's how we started Seven Oaks Evangelical Church. And the rest is history. Yeah, what does that have to do with Good Friday? I'm coming. Come with me to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I want you to have this in mind. Verse 17. There is nothing about your life that God doesn't know about. There's nothing about you that is hidden from God's view. Everything that's happening in your life right now has been calibrated in the system. And God has his perfect algorithm to get you back online so that you can fulfill your destiny. Don't forget that. The struggle that we face is us fighting against the plan. When you resist in the will of God and trying to override, you'll be fighting that steering. You'll be fighting with God to balance your life. But everything about you has been accounted for because God knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He will not override your will, but he has a perfect plan for you. When you and I recognize that, we recognize the goodness of God. And tonight I want to share some very simple but deep thoughts with you that I pray you will never forget in your life. In Romans 5 and verse 17, it says, for if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of what? Abundance of grace and of the gift of what? Of righteousness. Righteousness is a gift, and God has given abundance of grace, shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. We reign in life by Jesus Christ. He's our federal head. We were having a discussion the other day, and I said, the federal head, and Mama said, what is that? I said, that's the one that's the head. And when you connect with that head, it affects everything. We are the federal head in the first Adam, and because of that federal head, sin came to all of us. Now we now have another And because of him, righteousness comes to every one of us. Do you know that God has declared you righteous? Everyone, even those that have not accepted him yet, he sees them righteous. He's giving them access. But if you don't cash on what God has done, you die without the grace of that access. Nobody goes to hell that doesn't want to go. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Even so, by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon how many? All men. You see that? Unto justification of life. The justification of life. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. The justification of life. The justification of life. This is not just about I am justified. Justification of life. That means the reason for you to exist. God, by what Jesus did, gave me the right to life, to purpose, to destiny. And he says, we reign. There is not one of us that God has reigned upon in his grace that has not been elevated to the place of reigning. He says, we are a kingdom of kings and priests. Let me go on. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Many were made sinners because of one man, the federal head. Because of him, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Key factor is obedience. When I asked Jesus to come into my life, it's the act of obedience. And tonight, I want to share some very, very deep thoughts with you. See, the reason I started telling you about going to university and taking economics is because I'm going to talk about what that is, because I learned in economics that when, you see, not today. Today, we just print money. But once upon a time, there was something that backed the money that you had in your hand. It's called the gold standard. I mean, if you knew that, oh, praise the Lord, some people knew about it. The gold standard. So when they printed money, it had a backing, something that backed it. Today we just print whatever it is we want to print. And the inflation goes up. And what we really have is just a belief that what we have means something, but it's really monopoly money. Doesn't really mean nothing. And now we have something called bitcoins. Who knows what bitcoins is? What is it back? What is backing it? It's nothing backing any of it. And we have people that are millionaires with bitcoins. But there's nothing backing it. That is what religion is. And I'm going to show you in just a moment why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because he is the gold standard backing. Being backed by something. So that currency works. Oh, my. I don't know if you're going to be able to sit down when I get into the meat of what I'm about to share with you. Well, some of you will be able to sit down because you've heard lots from here. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Hallelujah. That as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. Did you see all of that? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, our God is good. Watch this. Come with me to verse 7. Now we're going to start pulling things together. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. This is my good man, I'll die for him. Verse 8. But God. Somebody say, but God. Say it again, but God. One more time, but God. Commended his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Not when we were good, not when we were righteous, not when we were any of that. Worthless sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 9. Much more than being, present tense, continuous, being now justified. Being now justified, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. We were what? Reconciled. To God. We were reconciled to God. Katalasso. This is the sister word for the word atonement, which is katalage. Katalasso. Katalasso, reconciled to God. Reconciled to God. Now, what is katalasso? This is an economic statement. This is a statement about exchange. This is a statement about quality and levels. We talk about reconciling the books. When you reconcile the books, you are balancing the books. Are you with me? It says we were reconciled to God. Two meanings. Reconciled means our relationship with God was restored. Are you with me? But reconciled also means our level and balance to God was restored. Are you hearing me? Who were restored to our life, our true life, of not just being men, but God man. Hello? God elevated you and I, worthless us. God put value, worth into us, and it was not about him just coming down. He came down to bring us up. God came down to pull me up so I can now act and reign like he reigns over the affairs, everything that affects me in life, that God has authorized me. As many as received them, to them he gave the power, the authority to become sons of God. And as many as are led by his Spirit, led by his word, they are. Not just becoming, they are. You become what you really are, a son of the Most High God, because of reconciliation. Reconciled to God by the death of his Son. We are reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The death of his Son made it possible for me to come back to God. But the death of his Son also made it possible for me to be elevated. If you don't understand it, the Bible says that we died with him and we rose with him and we ascended with him and we are seated with him in heavenly places. And where is the Lord seated? At the right hand of the Father. Listen. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I know that there are things that we're going to share tonight that you're going to have to listen to again and again until it gets in. Yeah. Much more being reconciled. That means when you're trying to go below where you're supposed to be, God. I messed up. I'm thinking foolish. God is always balancing. He's always balancing, making it possible for me never to be less than what I am supposed to be. You will never be less than what God has ordained by his Spirit for you to be. He's always balancing it, balancing it. You are just like me. And he says, and when we behold him, we shall find out that we just like him. Oh, because God is doing, by the abundance of grace, balancing. We shall be saved by his life. We shall be saved by what? His life. How are we saved by his life? Because we died, and he now lives in us. And the life that we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself as exchange for us. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Oh, what did all of this mean? It was when he went to the cross, he was busy doing a lot of stuff. For me, for you. Placing high esteem and value, worth to me. Verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, the katalage. The atonement in the Old Testament is the word kafar. It was just a temporary covering. When God used the word atonement in the New Testament, it's totally different. It's an elevation to equivalent value. If you don't get it yet, sold. Let's assume, I don't think you need to assume that much because I think I got this from dollar store. So it's a dollar. A dollar. Let's assume that I liked this timer so much, even though it was a dollar, that I intended to pass this so-called dollar store timer to my son or grandson. And one day I'm driving and I ran out of gas right in front of a gas station. I look in my pocket. I don't have my credit cards. I don't have any cash on me. And I go into the store and find out there's a pawn store there where you can exchange things and stuff and get money for whatever it is that you've got. And I step in there and say to this guy and said, I'd like to borrow some money. So how much you want to borrow? I like $50. Okay, $50. All right. What are you going to leave? I got this stuff that I want to give to my grandson. I'll leave this with you. Guy here's grandson. This must be important to this guy. Okay, he looks outside, he sees my car, says, yeah, I think he can pay. Gives me the $50, I put the gas in my car, I drive away. But I'm a businessman. And I take off and I fly to Asia, I fly from there to Australia, and from Australia I went to South America. And the guy says, you come back in a month's time, you can get your, give me my, you give me $50 plus interest. I'm going to take $70 from you. I said, okay, yeah, sure. But now I come back 6 months later and the guy says, it's not mine. Come on. Well, you signed a contract. Contract says, you come back in a month's time, you give me 70 bucks, you know, 20 bucks is my gain, you get yours. Watch back. I said to the guy, I'll give you $100 for it. No, I'm keeping it. Can I give you $1,000 for it? No. I'll give you $10,000 for it. No. I'll give you $100,000 for it. I said, no, I'm keeping it. It's mine now. I'll give you $1 million for it. No. $1 billion? No. I'll give you $1 trillion for it. The guy says, don't you speak English? I said, no. It's okay. Tell you what. I have all this business. I'm going to liquidate everything. I'm going to turn everything to you. And all I want is this. I liquidate everything and it comes up to $10 trillion. He said, bring your lawyers. Draw the document. Put the document down. I give him everything I've got and he gives me this back. How much is this thing now worth? $10 trillion. From $1 to $1 trillion. What just happened to this? The value changed. It's now worth $10 trillion. Well, when Jesus went to the cross, we know in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know that the one who went to the cross was God. And that one who went to the cross as God went in exchange for me. So from that very moment, because that was the price for my redemption, the price for my purchase, my value changed. I now have the value and the worth of God. Are you with me? You get the point? I have the value and the worth of God on my life. I'm no longer just ordinary. I'm a God kind, God valued, God worth. Are you hearing me? Okay. Are you ready? I'm going to take you a little bit further. You and I are about to understand why Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because you see, when you redeem something, just by the statement redemption, you're talking about a negotiation. If I come and I redeem this from that pawn shop, we have to agree on the terms of engagement and the terms for transaction. Are you with me? Do you get it? I know I've shared this with you before, but I want you to listen real good, because you're going to get something in just a moment. Terms of engagement, terms of transaction. But what is backing this? What is being transacted for? Me. But what is the point of exchange? What is the currency that we are exchanging between this person and that person? Between God, who wants me, and the devil, who has me. Listen, I want you to get this. The devil already has me. True? And God wants me. True? What is going to make the devil give up me to him? What did the devil want? He already has me. What does he want? Does he just want some praise and worship? No. He gets lots of that. You just need to turn on your television and you see praise and worship to the devil. That's not what he wanted. So what exactly does he want? What he wanted in the beginning. What exactly did he want in the beginning? He wanted the throne of God. The throne. He wants the throne. So, this is the deal. If he wants the throne, he says to God, "You want him? Yeah? You know he belongs to me, right? Yeah. You know, God can just go there and grab, but God is a just God. God is not a thief. Hear this. God is not what? A thief. He cannot just come and grab you. He has to have the right to grab you. He cannot just save you. He has to have the right to save you. So if you don't accept the gift of his love, he cannot force you to be saved. You want the throne? Yeah. But God has to always sit on his throne. Who's going to go for us? Who can I send? And Jesus says, I'll go. But you do understand that you're going to go and you are going to go without being God. You're going to have to go at the equivalent level with the first Adam to be the last Adam. Yes. I trust you. I love you, Father, and I love them. Just like you love them, I love them. You're going to go, but you know it's about my throne. Yes. I will not fail. I am going to go, and I'm going to shed my blood. Watch. Come, 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 come. I want you to understand. What makes the blood of Jesus effective is the throne. What backs the currency? Every time you plead the blood, you are pleading the authority of the throne. Is somebody listening? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? Are you getting it? The throne is backing the currency. That's why you cannot be saved by any other name. Because the only thing that backs the blood is the throne of God. That is the gold standard. That is the God standard. Because that was what was at stake. The throne of God. God was willing to step down from the throne because of you, because of me. Now, who and what gives me the right to think about myself less than what God thinks of me when he thinks of me that I had the value of his throne? That's why he says, we get to reign. We get to reign. The reigning is because of the throne. That's what backs it. That's exactly what backs what God came to accomplish. Now, when you plead the blood, when you apply the blood, you are establishing the authority of God over the situation. And so when Jesus sacrificed himself for my salvation, the Bible says when he humbled himself, God gave him a name that is above every other name. Because what the devil really wanted was that name that is above every other name. Oh, I don't know whether you're getting it yet. So when I pronounce the name of Jesus, I'm pronouncing the name that's above every other name. It's the name of the Most High God. That's what backs me. That's what backs you. That's what gives you the audacity to say to the forces of darkness, back off. Back off. The price has been paid for my healing. Based on what the throne accomplished, God so loved. Notice the statement. For God so loved that he gave his only begotten Son. God so loved you and I. That's why the Lord keeps on reminding me and reminding you of his love for the Father. He reminded himself consistently, I love the Father. And so when he was on that cross and it looked like the Father had abandoned him, he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You've never left me all this time. We've never been apart. What is it? Because God could not stand to look at the mess, all the sin, all the pain that his son was going through. He backed off for a moment. When he said those words, God looked back, said, no, I have not forsaken you. I am granting everybody access. He ripped the curtain and gave you and I total access into his presence. And when that curtain got ripped, the essence and the fragrance of the Holy of Holies came into the holy place and came into the outer courts, and the grace of God filled the whole earth. And God says, I call them saved. Anyone who will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But this is tricky, because what made it possible for salvation to take place was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the only authentic currency. You listening? He is the only authentic currency. The currency for the salvation of mankind was not in Mohammed. If God wanted a Bitcoin currency, if God wanted a printout of currency that everybody can just have something, I'll give you 20, everybody will give you everybody $20,000. Yes. How are we going to get all that $20,000 everybody get? We just print it. We've got ink. We got paper. Then he could have saved every one of us through whatever it is that we wanted to believe in. But the only currency of exchange, watch this. It is not just for God. It is the only currency accepted by the devil. So, guess what the devil wants to do? Get you to go get some Monopoly money. And then at the end he says, I don't think I accept, I know you can't go. But I got currency. No. You don't have currency. The only currency is the one backed by the throne. This is fake money. You cannot come in. You cannot go to God. You're not allowed to go. Because the only way you're going to go back to him, get reconciled back to him, have the equivalence leveled up to match up with him, is for you to have the currency of the blood of Jesus. Does this make sense? No. I'm not intolerant of other religions. I just want you and I to understand what was happening so that you and I can be saved. Jesus was a currency, but that currency was backed by the throne. Do you capisce? That's why I say he's a good, good God. Because he was willing to trade everything to save me. That's why I'm not going to accept anyone calling me any other name but the name of him who gave himself for me. The price was paid in full. When the enemy comes and tries to beat you down and make you feel worthless, you remind him, the price has been paid. The currency has not been watered down by any other name or by any other throne. There is only one throne, the throne of the Most High God. And that name, which is above every other name, says, you cannot touch me. You cannot steal from me. I have the backing of heaven. I pray tonight that every one of us understand what we're talking about here. It is because the currency was based on what and who God is and his throne that every other need in my life can be met. Now watch this. This is good. This is good. You know, I was reading something on social media this afternoon, and this guy was crying. He's a wealthy guy. He's always talking about how much money he had. Happened to be a Nigerian, and he went to do foreign exchange with the Nigerian currency to buy a dollar, and he found out that the exchange rate was $1 to 500 naira. And he says, what kind of country is this? Well, 1 to 500. Once upon a time, 1 naira was what, 2 US dollars. Our money was stronger. Now it is that worthless. Why do I say that to you? Because the currency of heaven, the currency of the blood, is very standard. And $1, if you can put it that way, in that currency is what the whole world and more. Because God says, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? So the value of you is what the whole world, all that is in the world, just me, I'm worth more than all of this. Hello? Do you get it? Now think about it from a financial perspective. That's why what God has in your hand, you can have a dollar in your hand and you can go into the store and come out from that store with a very highly discounted item, and you come out paying $1, and you came out with something that was marked $1,000. Don't get noisy on me. You say, I got it on sale. Yes, you did. But when you're walking with God, you start meeting up with those kind of sales. Huh? You start meeting up with those kind of sales. You know, I tell the story about my white suit. God taking me into another dimension and buying a suit for $19.99, something like that, plus taxes. It ended up being less than $20-something dollars. And it was marked down from 300 and something. When God says, let's go shopping. I'm telling you, how many of you have heard this story before? You've heard it? A good number of you. Okay. So, oh, Francis has heard this one. And I've been telling this story for the longest time. And I went to that same store looking for another sale. And they told me, you didn't buy this suit here. I said, of course I did. I bought it in here. He said, oh, we've never sold a white suit. What do you mean you've never sold a white suit? I wanted to tell them how much I paid for it. I said, these guys are arguing with me. If I start telling them how much I paid for it in this store where they don't have sales, they're going to call the cops on me and throw me in some robber room somewhere. So I left, went to my wardrobe, looked in there. The white suit is hanging right there. I said, God, what are these people talking about? I didn't buy a white suit here. He said, you didn't. I said, you are agreeing with them? He said, yeah, you didn't. I said, okay, where did I buy the white suit from? He said, I took you to another dimension. You see, when you are flowing with God, God can move you into dimensions. Because, child of God, listen, this is important. This is important. You are going to need that in the days to come. If you don't know, the times are moving. And there's going to come the time when they are going to want you to take this and take that, and you can't buy this or you can't buy that, and you can't do this and you can't do that until you get some kind of a mark or some kind of a passport or some kind of whatever. You can't come into the grocery store. What are you going to do then? You're going to need to be mobilized into dimensions where you go to the store and get everything you want for sale prices. Hallelujah. And you keep on dipping your hand in your pocket and the money never ceases. Say, but they don't use money anymore. But God knows there is power. Wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in that precious blood of the Lamb. The blood of Jesus covers every detail. That currency purchases everything. It restores your health. It restores your wealth. It restores your righteousness. It brings you to a place where you are reconciled, katalasso, back to God. It balances the books. When you have a walk with God, His blood constantly cleanses you. Give me John chapter 1, and I'll wrap up with that. First John 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have koinonia, fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with whom? The Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is a message which we've heard of Him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, we have koinonia, relationship, we're reconciled to God, and walk in darkness. In other words, we are not walking in relationship with each other. We lie and do not the truth. We lie. What is the lie about? The God of this world, Satan, is a liar. He's the father of lies. And when we lie, we are associating ourselves with him. We're still with him. So the Bible tells us in 1 John, it says, when we are not walking in love and walking in the grace of forgiveness, it says we are yet in our sins. We are yet in darkness. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. One with another being one with God, but one also with each other. And the blood, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood. In other words, when we are not walking in fellowship one with another, the blood cannot purchase that. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from some sin. Some. Come on now. It must say some. All. Incredible. All. All. Can someone shout all? What is left out of all? Nothing. So what makes the all not possible? When we do not walk in fellowship one with another, when we do not forgive one another, when we operate in the spirit of strife, one of the first statements of the Lord on the cross was, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And if God forgives me, why do I hold anything against you? If I hold anything against you, then I will have to be turned over to the tormentors. So when we talk about the love of God, the goodness of God, we're talking about a God who wants us to be one in harmony, in love. Cleanseth us from all sin. Verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And verse 9. I like this. But if we confess our sins, He is faithful and He is just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all what? Unrighteousness. Understand that righteousness is access to God. Unrighteousness is whatever it is that makes it impossible for us to have that access. Tonight, let us receive all that the Father has for us and know the blessings of God that passeth all knowledge, all understanding. Jesus died for us and gave us new value. And he backs it by his throne. Do you receive this word? Bow your heads with me. Those of you listening online, those that are here, everyone participating in this Good God Conference right now, you've heard the word of the Lord. I've done the best that I can for this moment by the leading of the Holy Spirit to present to you an understanding of what he came to accomplish and why and the cost of it. If you've heard the word of the Lord tonight, and you do not have a relationship with God at present, and will want to have that relationship, have the salvation of God impact your life, impact every aspect of your person, then tonight, or whenever, whatever time you're listening, I want you to just signify, even though I might not see you right there in your house or wherever you might be. So I want to give my life to God. I accept the payment for my redemption. I receive the freedom of what Jesus came to accomplish for my forgiveness, for my redemption, for my deliverance. I want to acknowledge that I see what you did for me, and I turn my life over to you. If that's you tonight, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Bless you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hallelujah. There might be many that are watching, wherever it is that you are, whose hands may be raised. I want to encourage everyone to pray this prayer with me right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for your loving kindness towards me. I come back to you, recognizing that you've purchased me. I no longer belong to the devil. I now belong to you. You possess me from this day on, and I will live for you as you live your life through me, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise God. You may be listening and you said, you know, Pastor, I've asked the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart before, but in so many ways I have not been living as I should. I've strayed from the path, or I have addressed my life by other things that are not part of the currency of God's love. And I want to come back. And I want to say to the Lord, thank you for reconciling me back to you. For your love is everlasting. I want to acknowledge the everlasting love of God and be restored in my relationship to the Father. Pastor, will you pray with me? If that's you, just raise your hand and I'll do so. I see that hand. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I see that hand. Now say with me, Father, I come back. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for restoration. Thank you for receiving me back. I know you never left me and you never forsook me. But in so many ways, I forsook you. And tonight, this very moment, I come back and I throw myself at your mercies. Forgive me every sin. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Help me to forgive those that have sinned against me. I've released them so I can receive all that you have for me. I declare by the word of faith, I am restored in my relationship with you. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Well, at this time, when we understand the price of what God gave to us, what does anything else, what can match up with that? First thing we have to give to God is ourselves. God, I give you me. And I'm going to listen to your instruction and follow your guidance. Second thing that we can give of value is our resources. And recognizing that God can make my little much. So therefore, I don't have the mindset of hoarding whatever it is I can get because I think I'm going to need all of this to get that. No, you don't. Time does not permit me right now to tell you stories of testimonies. But you really don't. And when you are surrendered to God, giving becomes part of you. You no longer look at the amount anymore. You're radical in your giving because you know that God can take whatever it is that you have left to accomplish whatever it is He needs to accomplish. Amen? It's all been paid for. Hallelujah. And it translates into your life by you finding favor not only with God, but with men. People come to you and say, I don't know why I'm doing this, but here. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm going to help you with this. I don't know why I'm doing this, but go to that place over there. You're going to get such and such a thing. Tell them I sent you. Favor. It's a good way to live. Yeah. But you have to connect with your giving. Because your giving is an expression of your faith that God is your source and God is your provider and not this. Amen? Do you understand? So I encourage you now, just come and honor God with your giving. This night that they call Good Friday, And we're not going to go into the intricacies of that, whether he died on Friday. What we do know is this: he died. Amen? And Friday is a day that traditionally we've celebrated, but the real deal is that he did not die on Friday. You can get 3 days and three nights from Friday to Sunday. But he died, and he rose again from the dead. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So come, honor God with your giving, and get yourself ready to share together. In communion. Those of you online, the information is on the screen where you can send your donation. By e-transfer or through the website or the physical address. Just do accordingly. May the God who has loved us with an everlasting love honor your gift of faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask Mama to come join me. This time, we're going to share in communion together. It's a great privilege to participate at the table of communion. Every time we come and we share in communion together, it says, as often as you take of this body, drink of this cup, it says, do it in remembrance of me. Tonight, she shared some things with you. And there's so much more to share. But just enough each time is good so that you're not overwhelmed with information. But I want you to consider when you take of this body and drink of this cup, don't think about that blood. And I want you to think about what backed that blood. The throne of God. God was willing to cease to be the Almighty God. He was willing to risk that because of me. When you take of this body and you take of this cup, and you remember what it took, changes your understanding of who you are. And if he gave all of that, was willing to give all of that for me, what else will he hold back? He can't. Everything is less than that. That's why I must not worry. That's why I must not fret. That's why I must not allow any circumstance to overwhelm me. Because God paid the perfect price for me. Take of this body and eat.
Jesus has already shed his blood for us. We're just reenacting. Let's do this in remembrance of him. Before you take this tonight, I just want you to appreciate him and say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
He's the only one that was willing. God asked the question, who we go? Only one person. Jesus Christ. Take everything in heaven and on earth, anything that's gone against the will of God, he reconciled it all back. So you have to thank him. Your future has been paid for.
Yes.
Not only your now, your tomorrow has been paid for. Your past have been paid for. That's why problems in your family that has existed for the longest time, you don't have to accept them anymore. They've been paid for.
That's right.
You are not tied to them anymore.
Amen.
You can reject them.
That's right.
The choice is yours. Say amen.
Amen.
So can you say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For speaking better things.
For speaking better things.
About my life.
About my life.
You are a good God.
You're a good God.
And I accept your goodness.
And I accept your goodness.
Surely.
Surely.
Goodness and mercy.
Goodness and mercy.
Shall follow me.
Shall follow me.
All the days of my life.
All the days of my life.
Amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, tomorrow night, we are going to be privileged to have the ministry of a great general in the faith, Pastor Peter Dossack. He's a great man of God. He has a story that proves the goodness of God. I remember we're in, I don't know what country that was now, we were in this particular service, crusade, mass crusade. Mama and I were there and ministering alongside of him. And there was one evening that he was ministering, and down on the by the steps was in the Philippines. There's a little young man that was all twisted. I mean, You see twisted. This guy was twisted like a pretzel. Day one, he was still twisted. By the time we finished that crusade, that guy was straightened up, unraveled. Bones cracking and stretching out. One of the amazing miracles I've seen. Mama and I were there. We saw lots of people healed. We had prayer line. Mama and I, she was like there, was here. And we miracles. We had our own lines. Everybody had their own lines. And miracles, blind, deaf, crippled, just popping. Yes. Amazing things. Yes. You know, so we've had a relationship together, and God is good.
That same God is here.
Yeah, that same God is here. Amen. And he's doing it right now for everyone. Amen. And so I'm looking forward to having him tomorrow night. And then we're going to have a glorious Sunday morning and a glorious Sunday evening. Yes. Hallelujah. You're going to experience the goodness of God. This currency pays for everything.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And change.
More than enough.
Yes, yeah. It's more than enough. You know, it's
overflow.
Yeah. It's always, you know, you pay and they have to pay you back, give you some more money. Hallelujah. Because it's always worth more than enough. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
God bless you. Have a good rest. See you tomorrow night.
Amen. Love you.
Bye.
Give us our Zoom family. Oh, I see Adrian is there.